I think the big thing is leadership. You know, it's, you need a guy that's kind of a dynamic personality that knows how to handle people, both good and bad, because, you know, you're going to have ups and downs, and a guy that's steady, you know. And I think the important thing is a guy that's a winner, you know. I think it's important, a guy that's won in high school, won at the college level. So a lot of stuff, you try and look for a lot of stuff that may translate to our level, but the college game's different than our game, you know. So it takes a lot of work, and our scouts do a great job of in terms of background and digging and stuff. So those are some of the things we look for. And then just as we get to know the people, and this is just phase two, really, of the whole off-season process. So we're so early in it, but looking forward to get to know not only quarterbacks, but a lot of guys in other positions as well.
When you're watching them on the field, what are the traits, film or field, what are the traits that you look for in that position?
It's, you know, you look, obviously how he carries himself. I think it's important here. You know, for Mike and I, we were talking. We like to watch the guys, how they handle themselves around the group with their teammates and coaches. So this is they've been thrown into like a fishbowl here. You know, media is here, and it's new teammates, new coaching staff. So just watch how they interact with that. But, you know, when you watch it on film, again, it's, you know, I like to see them when they're in their worst, you know, when they're struggling in a game, and how they pull themselves out of it, or how they rally their team. And so those are always things you really look for. But again, it's just being able to see these guys live helps us tremendously through the evaluation process.
Josh, I believe, and Mason both said that they had time to plan for this week. You're going to talk to all of them if you haven't already. So, what in those interviews is still out to you, and what do you look for, I guess, when you talk to them?
We've talked to some guys yet. We haven't finished. We still have a whole day today. So, but really, again, it's just we're just getting to know the players this low at this time. I think for us, the important thing is just to get to know the person. You know, we have the information from what the scouts have, you know, so we're just trying to see if that marries up and if there's any, you know, red alerts or red flags we need to look at as we go towards the combine and the pro days, and we'll spend more time with all these players at other positions. But I think for us right now, it's just really just getting to know the person and just see if they're, you know, a fit, what kind of person they are, and or a fit for us.
Mike, just hypothetically, without getting into the specific guys or anything like that, you guys have a quarterback that you like right now. So what would on the roster? So what would be like? What would be the rationale philosophically behind considering drafting someone at 11?
Yeah, you know, for us, we've always talked about it. Chris, Adam, and I, you know, we just want to give ourselves as much flexibility as we get closer to the draft, and, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, staying at 11, moving up, moving back, regardless of the position, we want to try to have as complete a team as possible heading into the draft, so when things occur, whichever way they may, we'll be prepared. And, you know, you always hate going in saying, boy, we got to get position X to start this year, because things never work out that way, and you don't want to kind of force your own hand. So we're going to work really hard over the next couple of months to give ourselves as much flexibility as we get closer, and assuming we stay at 11, so we can take the best player for us at 11.
How comfortable are you with the 11? How comfortable are you with the 11th pick?
Well, I mean, it is what it is. You know, we've earned it. You know, whether we like it or not, we were 6-10. So we have to take advantage of that opportunity. You know, history shows that, you know, if we do our work correctly, we should get a good player there. And again, we're going to worry about the part we can control, which is the preparation, and be thorough and see how things, you know, unfold. And, you know, a lot of things will change between now and the draft. We all know that. There'll be trades that none of us see, players that'll go up the board or back down. And, you know, a lot will happen between now and draft day.
I'm just trying to better understand your thought process roster building wise. If everything goes according to plan, Ryan would be around for the foreseeable future. So what would be the logic behind adding any rookie quarterback?
Well, again, I think, you know, you have to balance, you know, winning for today and developing for tomorrow. And, you know, last year didn't go obviously the way we hoped, and gave us a chance to reflect and, you know, some things we could do better. And, you know, part of that is, you know, making sure that we have good depth at as many positions as possible, knowing that over the course of a 16-game season, Jason, like, they're going to play. Like, that's what history shows us. And, you know, you look at the teams still playing, like, to their credit, they had excellent depth. And, you know, for us, like, you know, we're always going to try to put, you know, the best team together, where we're going to have players, you know, not only in starting roles, but backup roles that could, you know, go in and contribute right away. So I think there's always a balancing act of, like, trying to put a good team on the field, but knowing that you're going to have quality backups behind them as well.
Where do things stand with Jarvis Landry?
So, you know, Jarvis is a pending free agent. We have a lot of respect for him. He was drafted here, developed here, coached here. He's obviously had very good production. In terms of negotiations, you know, just that's something we want to comment on with any of our players. You know, he's one of several free agents, you know, Damian Williams, Matt Moore, guys that have contributed here for a long time. I'm sure we're going to keep some of them. We can't keep all of them. That's just the nature of our sport. And, you know, there's still some time before the, you know, the upcoming deadlines.
There's been a lot of talk in the newspapers from his side on the record. He felt disrespected, I guess, at some point in negotiation. Did you speak to him at all about those concerns, and do you feel like that's behind you?
Yeah, we've had a number of conversations for a long period of time, and I'll keep those conversations private. The ones that Chris and Adam have, I'm sure they'll do the same, but, you know, there's been a lot of communication between us and them, you know, for a long period of time.
Prior to this offseason, what has your guys' relationship with Jarvis been like?
You know, he's, again, he's a Dolphin. He was drafted here. He's been productive. I think, you know, Adam has, you know, used him, and he's produced, and he's, you know, gotten better. And, again, as the three of us said, like, you know, we want sustainability. We want to keep as many of our own players within reason, draft and develop them. But, again, you know, you can't keep them all. And that's just part of the system that we all live in.
One of the strategies that the Dolphins have employed in the recent past is the use of the transition tag, which I've tried to read and learn about some. I know at least two guys you guys have used it with. Can you explain to me the philosophy, when that is used, good, bad, how it helps?
Yeah, that's obviously just it's just one you know, possibility that a team could use. And, you know, every situation is going to be different. You know, that gives you the right to match, pays the player the average of the top 10 at his position. So, you know, again, we'll see what happens. Again, we have some time until, you know, when these deadlines are come up.
Chris, how much do you guys rely on Dan Marino's input with quarterbacks? I saw him.
No, it's good to have Dan around. You know, obviously, a player that was his caliber when he played, and, you know, one of the all-time greats, and someone that's very respected in the football world. And, it's great having him in the meetings. We'll sit and we'll pick his brain, and he'll ask us questions as well. So, you know, for us, it's great. It's opportunity for us to learn and for him to learn as well. So, you know, I think the players they're excited when they meet him too, which is always cool. And it's not just quarterbacks. It's last year we had a linebacker walked in and it was like, oh, he's like, I loved you in Bad Boys too. And that's how he knew him, you know, but that's how the kids nowadays recognize him. So it's always cool to see how the guys react.
Does he function basically as an extra scout for you with quarterbacks?
Yeah, you know, and then he sits in on the coaching meetings with the coaching staff. So, you know, Dan is a great guy, great to have around. And he's all in with all of us and wants the best for us and the Dolphins as well.
This is Adam's first trip to the Senior Bowl, from my recollection. What does having him here bring to the evaluation process?
It was good. I think, you know, last year we were in the playoffs, you know, so he didn't have time. And then I think this year, we didn't have the year we wanted, and so it gave him a little more time to come down. So he came down for a day and wanted just to see everybody. And it's always good to see all the quarterbacks live. So you want to see all the guys who's interested in seeing them, but also at other positions as well. So it was good having him here. You know, we had some good talks yesterday and enjoyed his time here. And I think he enjoyed it here. And, you know, but hopefully he hopes he's never here again. You know, hopefully we won't have too many games for him to be here.
How would you describe the approach that Adam takes when he's in the room with the players, especially quarterbacks?
Adam's the same guy, as you know how he is, so it's no different. I mean, he's always going to talk and challenge him and engage him, and I think that's what players love about him, you know, when you guys talk about him, how he is. So, no, he's no different with any position.
Mike, how would you evaluate the season Devontae had, and you're going to have to take a decision on that player option. What are the plus and minuses for a player that hasn't yet played up to the level you guys were hoping?
Yeah. Devontae's, you know, another, again, drafted here. We wanted to see him reach his potential. I know it's important to him. Obviously, he's dealt with, you know, injuries, which is, I'm sure, frustrating to him as it is to us. And we're going to keep working with him and try to get him to be, you know, the best player he can be. And obviously, he has a big ceiling and, you know, a lot of ability, works hard at it. Like I said, I think it's important to him. In terms of where we'll go with his contract and his option, you know, we have plenty of time to make that decision. So that's, you know, that's a ways down the road.
With the understanding that it's obviously not guaranteed unless an injury, would you feel comfortable kind of betting on him to continue to develop and maybe show a little faith early? Would that be something you'd be all right with?
Yeah, again, we'll look at, you know, as the offseason kind of evolves, where that goes. But again, you know, we like Devontae, you know, as a person, see his ability, and again, hope that he could grow and develop and reach his potential.
Chris, last year's first-round draft pick, Charles Harris, mixed in. Obviously, you guys had depth at the defensive line. How do you assess the two sacks and the overall performance and where you think he's at?
I think with us, it was a learning year for Charles, and, you know, we didn't expect him to come in here and be a great, but what he is, he works hard, he loves the game, very competitive, and I think probably the last six games he played really well. So he kind of learned and got his feet wet and developed, and that's what, you know, when he met with, he spent a lot of time with Jason Taylor early in the year, and Jason kind of told him, you know, Jason was like, I had three sacks or three and a half sacks my first year, and he said, as the year goes on, you'll try and, if your body gets used to the long season, you'll kind of figure it out. And he played really well those last, you know, three, 4 weeks of the season. So we're excited about his future. Guy loves football. And, you know, he doesn't say much. He just comes in. He's a grinder. And so we're very excited for him in the future.
How would you overall assess the rookie class and how they contributed?
I think it was good to get him a lot of play time. I think, you know, like every class, you know, you'd love for all of them to come in and be star players and do it. But, you know, I think we're excited for Charles' future. I think, you know, Raekwon is one we're looking forward to get him on the field. That was a big loss for us. We had high expectations for him. But, you know, Devon Godchow, and, you know, when rookie free agent Chase Allen, you know, that whole class overall, we're very happy with them and we're excited for the future. But, you know, again, we're not selling anything. We know we need to get better.
Speaking of Raekwon, where is he at in his recovery at this point?
He's right on or ahead of schedule. The guy is he's in there every day, and that's what from the coaching staff, trainers in the meetings all the time, and just talk about how he is and how he's approached and everything. So he should be ready to go in May, be out there doing everything 100%.
Mike, you guys have had a month almost since the end of the season to assess things. Do you feel like after 6-10, this is something you guys can turn around in one off season, or is it a more long-term project?
Yeah, well, you know, we just look at the big picture of our sport, you know, and I think that's, you know, one of the things that's attractive about our sport is how things change. You know, you look at what the NFC playoff teams, like five of the six teams were new this year. Over the last couple of years, you know, the AFC has kind of turned over, you know, almost as much. So I would say, you know, we have a lot of work to do, and we're trying to, I think, to have sustainability in our system. You have to evaluate your own correctly, and we've been spending a lot of time talking about that and trying to learn from what happened a year ago. And as Chris just touched on, you know, from the draft class to, you know, the work ethic of our guys, like, we're very excited about our future. And we have a lot of work to do, but, you know, we do feel like things are going the right direction. We're going to have to make some, obviously, some hard decisions and choices along the way. But, you know, in terms of, like, our view of the program, what we want it to be, you know, we feel like it's going the right direction.
What's your level of optimism that you can do that with what you have right now, though, as far as getting back to the playoffs next season?
Well, again, because our sport is so close, you know, the games, how competitive are, you know, like, hey, we were all there for our last game, you know, the Chargers are hanging in the balance, you know, the Ravens, you know, Buffalo gets into their credits, so, you know, things can change so quickly by just a handful of plays, and for us, we're going to start 0-0, we have a lot of work to do, but we also know that, you know, there's great opportunity there, you know, if we work hard and do things the right way.
What did you learn from last year's turnaround? The
opposite way. You know, Omar, like, I would say, you know, when you look at, you know, some of the, you sit there and you look at your team on paper and the depth and say, like, okay, you know, we feel pretty good, and, you know, some of our depth was, you know, tested early and it didn't respond as well as we had hoped. And, you know, again, I think the three of us talked a lot about that, you know, building a team for, you know, a long season, knowing that the way our sport is now, all these guys eventually are going to play, and some may have to play sooner than others, and are we, within reason, prepare for all those situations that may occur. So, you know, we look at every year as an opportunity to get better, to learn, you know, not just because we were 6-10, but, you know, we kind of try to go through that process every year.
Wait, Chris, same thing for you. What did you learn from last season?
You know, again, like Mike said, for us, it's the evaluation. You're learning every day, every game, every week, you know, every month. So for us, it's, I don't think you look at it as season's over, it's done. It's, I think if you're a good organization, you're always evaluating and doing a self-assessment. We've been doing that, and it's, right now we're in a big phase of Adam's got this new coaching staff, a lot of new people, so we have fresh eyes and fresh look at our team, and we're going to get together with the staff here in a couple weeks, and again, we're going to hammer it out for 2 days, and we're going to knock out everything and talk about what we're going to do offensively, defensively, what we need to get better at, what we do, so everyone, the whole organization is going to be on the same page, and I think that's important to, if we want to sustain success here. And so, you know, for us, again, it's just we learn every day. So I think we kind of are 6-10. It is what it is, and we feel we're a better team than that, but we just have to prove it.
All right, thanks, guys.